The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation Muscle streaming podcast. It's not a podcast. We are radio now, streaming radio. I got it for, you know, they call it podcast, but the way we're set up now, running 24/7 constantly on and on and on, we are now streaming radio. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. I've just revised it because of all the new stuff we're going to be doing with the new website here. You had 10 paragraphs. Now you have 5 bullet points with it. I've got a brand new 30-minute workout. It's conventional weightlifting with quarter squats and bench lockouts, one day specifically for sandbags. It's a pretty interesting little piece there. It's something, if you're not used to doing that stuff, put in your pocket because you'll definitely use it for another day. And I plan on adding all the power rack stuff I'm doing now and a couple new wrinkles I believe I developed it, maybe not, but we'll see when everybody sees what it is in the power rack I'm doing. The gentleman on here now probably has done it, but right now I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag until I do a few more tests with it because I love the new thing I'm doing. I'm drawing a blank, believe it or not, right now, because now I'm thinking about that. Strength times power equals success, the winner's circle. Those are the two biggest products to date. Check them out. Like I always say, commit, take action. It's very simple. Everything is done here on the premises. We write all our own content. We have no armchair anyone's here, all right? That's not the way to do it, and we only like authenticity around us. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast, and we have Bud Jeffries on here today. And you can go out and look at all the stuff Bud and I have done together. As I said before with Mike Gillette, Bud and I got enough here. This is a book you could read, literally. You want to put chapters together? There's chapters all over the place here. And I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one. He is a strength coach, author, motivational speaker, minister, business owner, and he's still one of the only handful of professional performing strongmen on tour in the USA. If you go out on Facebook, he's always doing something, man, that is just different. It's awesome stuff. And you really need to have an appreciation for that type of training. If you're fortunate enough to ever meet him, maybe he'll take you through a few things. If not, it's always good to emulate the originals. But as I always say, there's nothing like an original. Bud, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime, man. It's my pleasure. Anything I missed? I know the websites give out that. Anything that's coming up in the business or whatever you're into right now, lay it all out for the audience, please.
All right, man. You can find me at www.anunconventionallife.com, and that's kind of our motto, man. That's our whole deal. Yep. We're going to do things that other people can't do. We're going to do amazing things. We're going to have the most fun life you can have, and we're going to do it all being strong, being enduring, being crazy, being having fun. And let's see, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under my name. You can find me on Twitter under my name, all under Bud Jeffries. And if you check on there, pretty much every day I'm going to do something fun and crazy and something wild, or I'm going to post a picture or something just to, you know what, I want people talking. I want people thinking that every day their life can be better.
Yeah. And, I was thinking that when you just said that, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the word came to me called engagement. You engage people, at least you engage me when I see the stuff. And obviously I've seen a number of people that have made, replies, or a number of people just hit likes. That is definitely a very big strength of yours. And I think the successful component of anybody, especially in the media, and we are media, Right. Is engagement. Engagement. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think that's real important. That's all.
No. You're right, man. That's the whole thing we want, is to get people thinking about all kind of things, man, about how you can make your life better mentally, physically, spiritually, about how you can help other people, about how you can just learn to accept yourself, man, and be awesome being you and forget the rest of everything else. You know what I'm saying? Forget.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know something, bud? I think more than ever now in America is people have a hard time accepting who they are. They want to be, you know, we got into talking on the last show about, you know, the ridiculousness of these guys wanting to be, you know, the superhero thing now is the biggest thing in the world now in movies. I always love superheroes, but they don't have much originality to me. Everything's a rehash of a rehash. And, you know, this preposterous paying X number of hundreds of dollars a day to have somebody train you where you don't look like you could pick up a pencil, let alone, you know, perform as a superhero. But, and this is one of the things we're going to talk about, functional or fictional today, which I can't wait to get into, but this is what's going on here. It's like people think you're healthy and strong because they got a six-pack of abs. And most guys, I guess now, they're so worried about their waist, you know, they'd rather have a woman's waist. And you know, that's fine if that's what you want. But, you know, there's nothing like having big obliques and a big butt and a big, thick waist that's strong. So go ahead, bud. I've got a lot on my mind right now. That's all. Take it away.
All right. Well, you know, you mentioned something there that I think we ought to jump on that. So how do we define, you know, functional versus fictional? How do you define that? And I think there's a thing. There's the disconnect in how we look at things. We are conditioned to judge a book by its cover and its ability to do things and its ability to have health. Okay? And
yep.
We're conditioned to judge each other that way. And it flows over to everybody. It flows over to children. It flows over to women. And those are two pet peeves of mine, really, because, you know, I posted a picture yesterday, and that's kind of what brought this subject up, and we're talking about that. And I posted a picture of myself, and, you know, I take a lot of heat from stupid people on not being lean enough. You know what I'm saying? Now, and these are people I could generally crush between two fingers without a lot of, you know,
and I
don't want to. I want to appear as the advocate in this thing, but I want to appear as a balanced voice in this whole idea. And yep. Balanced maybe with one slant to, and here's what I mean, okay? You can say anything you want about me, dude, and I've been through the ringer on that. I don't care. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Little 12-year-old haters sitting in their mom's basement do not affect my day, okay? But they do for a lot of people. If you're not ready for that, if you're not used to that, if you're not somebody who's been through the criticism of that, if you haven't learned to develop a thick skin or a different attitude about that whole thing, and women especially and children are radically affected by it, and guys are too. Don't they lie about that, but they are.
Yep.
You know, and people, it's the easiest thing in the world to make fun of how somebody else looks.
Yep.
And it's the dumbest thing in the world because you have no idea what person is capable of, what that person is doing, what they've been through, why they are where they are. And us being big and strong or somebody else being lean or somebody else looking a certain way, none of that makes us better human beings. Now, I believe in the functional capacity it makes us all better human beings. But from a moral, spiritual, from a mental perspective, none of that makes us better human beings. None of it gives anybody the right to judge, no matter what the popular aesthetic is for the moment, and that's all it is. And we've swallowed a line because we've been told to, and you talked about us being media. The media has pushed this line for the last 50 years.
Yep.
That, you know, and probably it has to do, I think, with the advent of movies and the advent of all the things where, you know, people had to look a certain way to tell, like you were talking about superhero stories and all that. I would bet you could even go back to, like, Steve Reeves on that whole thing. Now,
sure.
Steve Reeves was legit, okay? Steve Reeves was, okay, to compare him to a contemporary, say, John Grimmick, okay,
right.
He was not even close to Grimmick from a physical power capacity. Not even close. But he was still legit. Steve Reeves was, in the 50s, considered to have the most beautiful body in the world. You know, first Mr. America, Mr. Universe, I'm not sure what bodybuilding title it was, but he was the man.
Yep.
And hence appeared in a bunch of movies and a lot of superhero movies, a lot of Hercules and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And that was about the time that bodybuilding began to be the dominant sport there and push that idea on people that how you looked was really the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now Reeves and the guys from that period were also legit physical people. Steve Reeves would be light years ahead of strength-wise most people in any gym in the world today. But, he wasn't necessarily physically pursuing super top-end strength.
Right.
And it gave us all this idea from watching these movies that if you look this way, you would be, you know, amazing. And you could stick Steve Reeves up against, say, somebody from the same time period, say, Paul Anderson, okay?
Sure, yep.
And today we would judge Paul Anderson as just a fat guy.
Yep.
And we wouldn't see the fact that Anderson could have literally lifted Steve Reeves and all the barbells that Steve Reeves ever lifted at one time.
Absolutely.
We're totally convinced that the way that we look is the all-important thing. And yep. You tell me, and anybody tell me out there, how when you get to the end of your life, looking good will be the most important thing that ever happened to you. It's not. It's simply not a thing that builds a depth of reality in life, that builds a depth of character, that builds a reality into what you can physically do. And I'm not against it, okay? And here's what I mean about being a balanced voice here. I want you, like, okay, there's a big thing, and it's been in the media and people talking about this, about you know, fat shaming and fat acceptance. So you got personal trainers and people who are knuckleheads railing, yep. Just ruining people who are fat. And you got people on the other side saying, I'm okay being me, and they're right. On the flip side of that, on the one caveat I'll give you with that is, don't be a thin or a fat or whatever guy or girl or whatever you're not doing without trying to be the best you can be.
Yep.
Okay? So if you're 500 freaking pounds and sitting on the couch eating Doritos, I still don't think anybody ought to be making fun of you, but don't tell me you're working to do the best you're doing.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And I'm not saying to let anybody off the hook with you need to be that it's totally okay to be obese, but it's also totally not okay to be 90 pounds and can't pick up a pencil.
Right.
Okay. Everybody ought to be building the best top end they want to be. And if you want to be leaner, you want to have abs. Okay. Like Mike Bruce was on here earlier, has some of the best abs on the planet, you know, is a monster, super good. Okay. Awesome. No question about that. But Mike is also a super functional human being who can do amazing things, okay?
Yep.
There has to be a balance between what I can physically do, how I can live my life, what I'm able to eat and enjoy in my life, where I'm able to go with that. There's a difference between pressuring yourself to starve all the time or pressuring other people to look other somebody's idea when you can't actually physically do anything. And related to that, is the watering down of physicality. And there's where I think the fictional and functional thing goes on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have no problem with CrossFit. I think CrossFit's awesome. There are some awesome things that they do. But it's also the notorious thing where they've got a barbell stacked to the end with bumper plates, and it's actually like 135 pounds.
Exactly.
It looks like it's 800 pounds on a barbell, but the rubber plates is actually like 135, 225 or something like that. It's not.
Yeah.
Here's what I mean. In watering down how we accept what the human body is capable of and accepting only how it looks as the ultimate ethic of what a body is worth or what a body can do, we've also watered down what people are capable of. And now guys are blown away when you walk in a gym and have a 315 squat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you're in a pretty hardcore gym, you know what I'm saying?
But, oh yeah.
And hence we have modern places like Planet Fitness, okay? Who won't even let you do things that are, you know, remotely terribly physically powerful.
Don't forget though, you get donuts and pizza.
That's right. You know, which is now hold on. The first year I went into powerlifting, there was a lot of pizza that got eaten every Friday night after deadlifts. There was a lot of
yep.
Okay, here's what I'm saying with that. We've watered down the possible physical potential, and now what we see as the greatest thing in the world is really just a shadow of what's possible. And it's just the guys who are strongmen or who in a cellar dwellers or that kind of thing, the guys who are out there doing some amazing physical things that are doing it. But people have lost the ability to even understand it. And now we see counterfeit as real.
Yeah.
Versus reality as the most powerful thing. And what it is a limiting thing. okay? If you believe the toughest thing, the baddest guy in your gym is a 315-pound squatter, and he's not a 97-pound guy,
yep.
Okay, you have missed the possible physical potential of what's there.
Yep.
You know, you literally have a Ferrari under your control, and you never drive it more than 25 miles an hour in an example of what the human body is physically capable of doing, but you don't even know how to access it because all we're seeing now is a shadow of humanity, a shadow
Absolutely.
Of what could be, because you could be flatly amazing. You could, most people, 99% of the people I've ever talked to, even guys who are lifting, and even guys who have drifted into and started to get into the really hardcore world of lifting, unless they've been around somebody who's a flat savage, they've been around somebody who tears barbells up and who really does the real thing, or who lifts, you know, massive stones or does something like that, they don't even understand the potential possibility.
The potential
possibility of strength of a human being is incredible. You can do some flatly amazing things.
Yeah.
If you just do it. And it's that in every other area too. It's that you can be so, you know, you can walk or run further than you've ever thought of. You can row or swim or do whatever. You can do like Andrew Derniat and run Ironmans and deadlift 700 pounds. What I'm saying? You could do like Mike Bruce and, you know, do 1,000 chin-ups a day as well as, you know, deadlift 700 pounds and, you know, have abs you can grate your carrots on.
You can be
all of those things if you simply open your mind and really get a feel of the reality instead of being sold into the pure counterfeit of what we're mostly being sold.
Well, you know, when you talk about Mike, it was interesting today. He was telling about a gentleman that was there for a few years named Michael, and he had Down syndrome. And this kid wanted to do chins because he used speaking of chins with Mike. Mm-hmm. And Mike said he would come in every morning before everybody, and he would try, couldn't do it. And I don't know how long. I want to say maybe it took him a year. This kid just kept coming. He wasn't a kid. He's like 35 years old. He came in every morning. Finally, one morning, he said, Coach, come out here. And he was going to try, and the guys were around there, and he said, you know, we're encouraging him, but we're figuring, you know, I don't know. By God, man, what did he do? He did one full chin. And then he started doing more, and it was amazing. And when you're talking about amazing people, how we all are, and the capabilities we have, this kid, well, I keep calling him that because that was what Mike was saying, and he's an older guy, 35. Mike said he was one of the few guys that could take an old school, barbell plate, 45-pound plate, and had the old style hub in the center. Guess what? The guy could hub that thing right off the ground. His grip was so good. Amazing.
Yeah.
And the big thing we talked about here, see, this guy never let anybody, and maybe it was due to the disability too, but he never let anybody tell him he couldn't do anything. And that was the beauty of the whole thing. This guy goes and rips a friggin' 45 right off. Mike said, he goes, I don't even know if I could have done it. All right, the thing is, here's somebody that you figure's got everything stacked against them, but yet can walk into a situation where most of us are telling us we can't do it. Even though we have the capability, we have that fear, or our whole life we've been told, why do you want to do that? Don't do that, you're going to get hurt. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. And you walk in and do it. And I've always said this. I've said this about me at times when I've really done some stuff. I said, I think I just walked in there blind stupid. And I'm not a stupid guy at all. But I think sometimes ignorance, and I mean ignorance to what, like with weightlifting or whatever, sometimes, and I don't know if that's even the correct word, but I'm going to use it on me, sometimes just having ignorance and not analyzing everything. That's the thing I see with a lot of failure now with people. I got to read another article. I can't get started if I don't have this next article. I got to figure out how the greats did it all. You know what? By the time you figure that out, you're going to be 50 years old and you haven't even started yet. So all these things, you're putting all these strangleholds on you, not only physically but mentally, and this is going to stop you. This is going to stop you from being a functional individual. Yeah, it's great to be able to deadlift 600 pounds, but if you get worn out picking up two bags of groceries and you got to walk them up two flights of stairs, what the hell good is the deadlift? You know, it's you're living fictionally there. It's great to be strong, but if you can't transfer that to the road, like they say, the rubber to the road, it's really no good, man.
Right.
You want to be strong, but you want to also be able to, you know, you like with your son, or you got nieces and nephews. I see them with you, and they're doing all kinds of stuff with you. Don't you want to be able to do things like that? Don't you want to be able to bend over and tie your shoe, or bend over and tie their shoe if they don't know how to do it? What I'm saying is, all these things we're talking about, and like when you had that piece out on Facebook yesterday and today, it's what matters. And like you said, in the end, when you're laying there and you're not breathing life anymore, do you think anybody standing around you is going to say, geez, Bud's got ripped abs. I think that's really great. you know, I mean, think about that for a second, the stupidity in a statement like that. So I think the only way the strength community, or whatever we want to call it these days, will survive and will go ahead is it's guys like us, shows like this, that are going to keep spreading this. And I guarantee you, sooner or later, we are going to crack the wall wide open. I'm not saying everybody's going to go by what we do, but you know something? Maybe you walk another quarter of a mile every day. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you do go out and start weight training. Because I want you to comment on this, but I want to ask you this directly. You've trained a lot of people, and you've been around a lot of people, myself too, and especially a lot of the younger kids that come here. The most they've ever done is they all think getting strong is bench pressing, which, you know, I snicker, but whatever. But, you know, as soon as they start touching sandbags and walking or some stones, or they start learning how to one kid I got dead stop squatting here now already. He's up to like 140. He never even squatted in his life. I wanted to train him properly, functionally. Bang, bang, bang. And the thing I find out when we talk about this stuff, people, you know, give it a chance, because I guarantee you the majority of people, once they get a little taste of that type of training and they got the right person that's not beating the crap out of their head, you got a winner here, man. And when I always say, everybody's like, well, if you get 1 out of 10, bullshit. We're getting 10 out of 10 here, so take it, bud.
Well, the mind is the whole. The mind is the whole thing. The mind is absolutely the deal. The mind, how you treat people when they train, how you talk to them, how you get them thinking about it. You brought up a couple of things that I'd address. Number one, you talked about, I got to see how the great people did it. Let me tell you something. I know a bunch of the greats.
Yeah.
They're making it up as they go along as much as anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? That's not it's not like they're 100% sure. Nobody's 100% sure. We're 100% sure of certain parts of this.
Yep.
Everything else is experimentation.
Yep.
So you can't be afraid of it. You just got to go with it. Number two, you talked about people not, like, they're not being able to think about what's going on, and you just, all of a sudden, I didn't know what was happening, and I suddenly lifted more than I ever thought about.
Yep.
I have done that countless times.
There you
with
go.
People who are lifting a certain amount, and you can see that they have a mental block.
Yep.
And I've loaded a weight that they didn't know it was, and say they're, you know, they can't deadlift 300 pounds.
Yep.
And I don't let them even look at what the weight is, and load like 305, and suddenly they'll lift it.
Absolutely.
Not knowing the mind is a big part of that whole thing.
Exactly. And if no one's telling you what it is and you don't know, and most people, you and I both know, I've been around guys that have trained for a while. They aren't the greatest mathematicians when they're loading a bar. I'm sure you've been around that. So I'm saying it's not very hard, not unless they can count 45s real quick, you know, or whatever, or 35s, 25s. The deal is here. Yes, I've done that too, where you'd put a little bit more on. They wouldn't know. They'd go in and ace it. Now, if I told them it was that, I'd say nine times out of 10, they'd fail. Because
right.
The first thing that would get in their head is, I don't think I can lift this. I don't think I can lift this. So by the time you step in front of that bar, or that bar's on top of your traps, guess what? Boom. And this is the thing. This is the thing when we're talking about this fictional stuff. Well, you know, you kind of lit me up now with these trainers and stuff. I'm going to say two things here. Number one, you made a great point. Experience is going to be your best teacher. Now, you and I both train pretty much alone. It really gives you an opportunity to stretch mentally, stretch physically. I did some stuff last night, but it wasn't a big, heavy tire. It was the first time I flipped the tire, and I can't tell you when. It was bothering that bicep that I had fixed, and I was like, I'm not going to screw around with an 800-pound tire and then have something happen. But, you know, I got thinking, when I talked to Martin the other day, you know, one of the things he does is he takes a 500-pound tire and he'll flip it for over 2.5 hours. Now, I'm going to find out today what intervals he's doing it with, but still, amazing, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, I did a sequence last night. I hadn't front squatted in 5 months. Dead stopped. I use an Apollon axle to do it now. I just like the feel, the thickness, and I cross my arms. I don't do it clean style.
Right.
All right, so I went from the first generation. I warmed up 20 minutes with a body weight, which consists of squat pull-ups, long strength good mornings, heavy hand walks with 5 pounders in each hand, 95 feet up and down, approximately 20 minutes. When the timer goes off, I'm done no matter what. Went right into the Nautilus four-way neck machine, did all four sides, didn't go over 40 pounds with it, really pumped the living hell out of the neck, went right directly to the tire, flipped the tire 50 feet down, 50 feet back. Everything went very well with that. Went right into the power rack, which you and I, that's one of our favorites. Lit it up, ended up finishing off at 354. It was very easy, but I hadn't done anything like this, and I'd been wanting to do it. And that factor where you're saying to yourself, okay, that bothered this, that bothered that. Well, I can tell you today I have very little soreness at all anywhere. I've been doing some different things, obviously, with the shoulder. It's worked. I'm feeling better and better. Now this is something I'm going to really screw around with. And I'll mess around with a lighter tire for maybe 4 weeks, and then I'll go right to a 500-pounder, and I'll start flipping that sucker. So what I'm trying to tell everybody, you know, when we're talking about functional stuff, I can remember one of your old books. I don't remember what one it was. You know, you were talking about with Strongman, and one of the top things you said was flipping a tire for endurance and power. I never forgot reading that years ago, but I think what really fired me up with it was when I talked to Martin the other day, and he was like, he's got a very different style. It's similar to what you do in a lot of ways with how he believes a certain style of endurance, and he believes a tire is one of the main things you want to get into to become a really good stone lifter. And for anybody that's never heard of him, go out on Facebook, Martin Janzik, friend him. I am telling you, the guy is phenomenal, man. And I don't say that about anybody unless I mean that. I can't wait to talk to him today, too. This has been the best day, probably four of the best shows we've ever had in a row like this. It's unbelievable the talent we got here, and these guys are all just brutes. So to make a long story short, he does a lot of endurance with whatever he's doing, bud, and then he comes in the last few sets and will lift them very heavy, 3 to 5 reps, and he calls it a day. It's a little bit different than how I do things. As you know, I like singles like yourself. I don't mind doing volume, but if I had to pick something, I still like loading the biggest, heaviest thing I can on me or in front of me and just going for it. John McKean was the guy that really started me out with that stuff with Hard Gainer. Same way with the rack, you and him mainly, where I was doing rack, but not to the degree I do it now because, like I said, give me rack, give me stones, give me barbell. Goodbye. You won't see me for the next 50 years. I'm fine. Go ahead, take it. That's it, you know.
No, everybody should get to know Martin because Martin is a monster. Martin put in some amazing stones.
Oof.
And I totally agree with that. And there, let me tell you a good part of that or whatever you're talking about with the tire and the
sure.
And that
yeah.
applies to this, okay?
Yep.
You're even seeing tire flips and stuff like that in commercials.
Yeah, I know.
Today.
Yeah,
but if you look at the tire, if you have any kind, like the average person is looking at that saying, oh my God, look at that girl flip that tire. Look at that guy flip that. That must be so hard. That's a hardcore training.
Yeah.
And I know tires well enough after having done Strongman for forever and done that I know that tire weighs like, you know, 200 pounds. And, you know, if you look at that tire without even touching it, I can flip it over. It's one of those, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nowhere near as hard as it is, and there's what I mean about the things being watered down. But then you look at Strongman, where people are flipping 500, 800, 1,000-pound tires, and you got guys like Martin, and I do some of the same thing with a tire. I like to do – if I do I've kind of hit a place with tires where I prefer to just work with a 500 and just keep doing the high reps.
I'm with you. Yeah, yeah.
That I have a problem with it. I can do, you know, a heavier one with no big deal. There's no – it's just I like the repetition. I like the endurance. I like exactly the format – that Martin's using.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a huge, huge benefit to that. The endurance to that is phenomenal. And here's what I mean by that. That is an extreme – okay, so like Martin's a big, huge dude, not particularly ripped.
Right,
but
exactly.
Phenomenally functional. I would bet you would have trouble finding more than a handful of dudes on the planet who can flip a tire, a 500-pound tire 250 times.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, at least as a regular workout and not be dead from it. You probably could, you know, hold a gun to some guy's head and get it done. But
maybe.
But yeah. They also might put him in the hospital later. You see what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And what I'm saying with that is you got a guy who is a sort of semi – I mean, he's a big, muscular guy, so he's not a normal-looking guy, but he's a normal-ish-looking guy in that he looks like a big workman guy,
same as
I look.
Yeah.
You know? And he's doing something that's phenomenally above, head and shoulders above, what 99% of the world is doing from a strength and endurance perspective. That's for real. There's nothing counterfeit about that. There's nothing in a way of living that you couldn't sustain in an economic collapse. There's nothing in a way of functioning that you couldn't just continue to do. And when you build that level of legitimate functionality, then there is almost nothing you can't do because you've conquered so many barriers getting to that you've found authenticity. You've found the ability to dig within yourself to do it. You've found the ability to master things, and you've found the ability to do amazing things. And here's the great thing with the tire about that. You can find that one rep at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's the thing that most people don't get about getting to a superhuman level of doing things like Martin is doing or other things like that is, okay, with the right coaching, you can do things so much better than what you do. Most people, if you even watch the people on TV flip tires, it's not really great form.
No.
On that, because most of the time they're using a bad tire, they're using the wrong tire, they're using something that doesn't really allow you to work with a tire like it's supposed to be done, or the most efficient way. Okay, but here's the real thing with that. So say you get some legit coaching, you get a little bit of strength under your belt, and you can flip a 500-pound tire, and you can do it safely and for a few reps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you just keep one more repping. Just do one more. Just do one more every time. Just do one more every session. Just do a few more. Just do one more on every set. And then you go from a guy who can flip a 500-pound tire for 5 reps to a guy who can flip it for 50.
Yep.
And then in a few years, you're a guy who can flip it for 250, and then you're as strong as anybody on the planet.
You got
it. And here's the thing, okay, this is a thing I went through that a lot of people, I think, go through, okay? So what if you do that? What if you do everything right, okay? You build legitimate, crazy physical ability. You don't eat terrible. Maybe you don't eat – okay, I'm just going to be flat honest with you. I don't care anymore. I don't care whether I have an ab or not. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. It's going to be decently healthy food, but I'm going to have a cheeseburger when I feel
– Right.
And that's just how it is. And unless you've got a pistol, you ain't going to stop me. And it better be a big pistol.
Well, they're going to have to put at least 8 in you, fine. So you know it better be good.
See what I mean? I'm going to live the way that I feel like. I'm going to live it in a very practical way in that I'm not going to eat 18 times a day. I'm not going to Now, I'm going to do things to get clean and great food, okay?
Yep.
I think that's a big, big issue. A legitimately nutrition, taking care of yourself. But nutrition does not necessarily mean diet, as in caloric restriction or deprivation or that kind of thing, okay? Doesn't mean that. And most of the people you see talking about that or selling that are selling it to people who are 5 pounds away from RIP to begin with, who legitimately genetically feel tend that way, and they do not count like the rest of us normal humans. So what if you did that? What if you do everything right, or at least everything in a way that doesn't drive you crazy right, okay?
Yep.
And you still don't end up looking like a Hollywood superhero. That make you less of a human? No, it just makes you an awesomely capable human who looks how you're supposed to look. And you might grow a ton of muscle and still not look like Steve Reeves or Ronnie Coleman or whoever.
Yep.
And you might, you know, and you might be able to do phenomenal things like flip a 500-pound tire 250 times.
Exactly.
Or lift some of the, you know, amazing historic stones or, you know, whatever else. And you could be amazingly healthy and still might not be super ripped. You might not be, you know what? You're okay. And so is everybody else. Why should we even care as long as you're pursuing the reality of what you can be? And you
well, not
feel,
only that,
you're flatly gonna... amazing. And that's one of the great ways to get there is to take something like a tire, and because that's a very unique form of strength and endurance. And let me tell you why. That is the middle ground there. Okay, and here's what I mean. A 500-pound tire, a lot of people will say that's heavy. It's not actually a heavy tire at all. But it is, even for a strong guy, that's a significant, you know, it's, you still got a, unless you're in the world's strongest man and you're constantly flipping a 1,000-pound tire for 10 or more reps, it's still something you need to think about as you do it. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's a moderate end of strength. But when you're done in that kind of volume and repetition, you're talking about taking what most people would take as a lightweight and doing it in an endurance format. So now you've got strength that carries over both to much lighter weights for higher reps or much lighter movements to long distances, as well as heavier strength. It's another level of preparation that we all ought to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There's the thing. Relaxing about yourself, letting yourself be okay with whatever state you're in, whatever place you are, not letting yourself off the hook in that I am going to take care of my health. I am not going to allow myself to be out of shape. But at the same time, you know what? If I don't look as if somebody else – if I don't look the way someone else defines how I ought to look, then so what? Why do they get to define that? No one should be allowed to think that for yourself, and that's a limitation of thinking. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When you get sucked into that trap, you're never happy. And not only that, you limit what you're supposed to be able to do. But when you let someone else tell you how you're supposed to look, you begin to let them tell you how you're supposed to think, how you're supposed to talk, what you're physically capable of doing. And guess what? If you go into it blind, like Mike was talking about. His buddy there doing
with Mike Michael
he's
yep.
talking about Michael doing, which by the way I met him, he's a very cool little, and he's, I know what you say when you mean kid, he's a kid. If you let yourself be brought into that thinking instead of just simply saying, you know what, it's unknown, I don't know what I could do amazing things, then
why do you think
take over your life? You accept counterfeit as real when reality could be so much more.
Why do you think so many girls are anorexic?
Oh, they absolutely are, because they're taught to believe that they're supposed to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And that their value as a human being is less.
It's worthless. Yeah,
it has nothing to do with your value as a human being.
Nope. And then a host of things start, and I know a girl that started anorexic, and beautiful girl, beautiful family. She became a heroin addict, and they tried to save her multiple times, and they found her in their home one morning. She had OD'd.
Right.
Some people can't get rid of that stuff, and it's like this damn Hollywood, this movies, these expectations, all this baloney. And now with the advent of so many things with social media to get to and all that, this is why you need to step out of that ring. And I know it's hard as a teenager. I remember all that stuff. You know, you got pressures, you want to have friends, you want to blend in, but there comes a point in time that, thank God for lifting. I'll say it over and over again. I always seemed to just only go so far and I would stop, because I knew there was two things waiting for me. Number one, it could be jail time, it could be death. But it was they were nothing compared to facing my father. I never liked to disappoint my father, and my father would have killed me, literally, probably. You know, he would not put up with that kind of stuff. And that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, when we talk about the functional, and I believe you and I have talked about this on several occasions, but this is another big thing. Manual labor. You go look. I think we talked last time, or it might have been we were talking about Bob Peoples with Mike. You know, farmer. You ever shook a farmer's hand? They're friggin' like we used to call them ham hands. We had a couple friends that were. These guys had mitts for hands, man. Strong as hell. It's like you don't want to mess around with these guys. I mean, the only guys like Bud was saying, you're going to get a bullet, or you're going to have to be some type of pro fighter to take one of these guys on. These guys are no nonsense. I mean, when we were kids, we used to watch the Blacktoppers. you know, jackhammers. I don't know what it was, what was so much fun. I still haven't figured it out. To stare down in a hole and watch them cutting pipe with torch on the street. I don't know. I think little boys gravitate to those things. I do believe those are things that we got in us that have been shut down by today's world. And look at the guys and kids and men of today. I mean, I can't say enough. I've run into so many this weekend, especially when I was out. Man, oh, man, it's like the majority of guys I met looked like they all had man boobs. I was like, and we're not talking a 55, 60-year-old guy. We're talking guys I'm sure that weren't any more in mid-30s. I'm like, holy cow, man. Pull your damn pants up. You know what I mean? It's like, do you have any pride in what you do? And that's all what goes with that, man. I mean, all right, the big joke when we were a kid was always the plumber's crack. But I'll tell you what, man, those dudes were the real deal. I mean, you got calloused hands. You know, think about guys that turn wrenches. Literally, you got the grease of a car embedded into your skin. I mean, that's showing you, you know, baling, you know, hay, all, you know, all that stuff, man. All the stuff that we've lost here due to whether it's gone overseas or these companies have just, you know, vanished, man. That had so much to do with being a functional human being. You know, I look at the stuff my grandmother used to do and walking and all the things at her house she used to do and a nurse, man, you know, a little bit of a thing, you know, having to pick up and pull up, all, you know, heavy men, move them. Just a different thing, different feeling, and they could do things, man. And that's the same thing we're talking about here, you know, when we talk about flipping a tire. I'll tell you what, man. A tire is not going to cost you jack shit. You go to a place that's we got one here in Albany I get them from. Those guys are so cool with me. If it's too big to get in the truck, they'll deliver it. The thing is, folks, once you get a tire, you keep it. You can't bring it back. You've got an implement there. You say you don't have any money at all. Say you want to start out and you don't have anybody around your area and you can't afford a gym and you can't afford a power rack and a bar and weights. All right. You go right down there. You can do two things. Get yourself some sandbags, get yourself some tires. I'm telling you right now, if you learn how to do it and you have a few of each, I will tell you in a year's time, if you're eating good, and I mean good wholesome foods, not out of cans, not out of bags, all right? And if you're really ambitious, grow a garden. I'm telling you right now, if you weigh 140 pounds now and you do what we say here today, I guarantee a year from now, you'll be at least 210, and you'll be thicker than a brick, and you'll be strong as hell. So go ahead, comment on any of that, bud.
Well, I think it all speaks to what's possible. But yep. At the same time, I think a lot of us need to do some mental homework on this whole thing. And let me tell you what I mean, because it's easy for us to jump on, you know, all the kids are like this. Number one, we got to be better examples. Yep. But even within us, okay, like I know, and I'm sure you probably know some guys who pursue being the craziest, biggest, strong, or the biggest bodybuilder or whatever, and they're still not happy.
Nope.
Okay? And you got to get inside yourself and figure out why. I had a conversation with a friend yesterday who was a pro level. He won competitions in bodybuilding where he could have easily turned pro from it, but he had a better business, making a lot more money in a different area, and just did it because he wanted to do it, and didn't, you know, do that. But he talked about the last big show he won, and sitting there afterward thinking, and this is a big time show. This is a big deal.
Yep.
And sitting there afterward thinking, you know, I thought I was going to be happy with myself when this is over, and not. Yep. I don't feel any better about myself. I don't feel – and about some of the mental issues he really had to deal with that kind of thing. And all of us need to get to a place where we're better with ourselves.
Yeah.
And then – and here's the thing people don't get. So you think – what you don't get is you see a lot of guys who talk about I'm training because I got all this angst. I need to work out and all that stuff. And that can be useful sometimes.
Yep.
But if you're not training because you purely love it and because you are just seeing what's possible for you to become, you've got to get past the angry about things or the feeling bad about yourself about things and simply then begin to explore what you can possibly be.
Yep.
And, all right, I've been at one time and, like, I've been one of the strongest guys in the world.
Yep.
And I can tell you right now, none of that makes a difference if you don't feel decent about yourself. It doesn't matter if you're the prettiest, doesn't matter if you're the best developed, doesn't matter if you're the strongest, doesn't matter what it is. If you don't get your relationship with you, your relationship with God, your relationship with your past right, you'll never be okay. And you can, but here's the thing. All you have to do is do the work to do that. It may not be easy, and you can do it. And weightlifting, strength training, legitimate training like that can be a very cathartic thing, man. It can allow you to expel those issues. It can allow you to build discipline and build a way that can build your mind into a place where you can now see that, hey, I have a whole map to explore of great things, of amazing things. All I have to do is get my mind right. All I have to do is get my body and my spirit right and start using the vehicle that I have to really do some amazing things. Because there's more to what you get out of physically accomplishing a thing than worrying about if you're perfect.
Yeah.
There's so much more to grow with there. And one other thing I did want to address with that is I've worked with people, a lot of people over a long period of time from a strength perspective, okay? And everyone that I've had a chance to train over more than just, you know, a minute or two here and there, or just showing things or like at a clinic or something, but everybody I've legitimately worked with over a long enough period of time to legitimately see results has gotten really, really strong. And I'm not saying that because of me. Here's the trick with that, okay? You have to find the thing that works for you. You have to explore. You have to, you know, Einstein said everybody's a genius, but if you tell a fish he has to climb a tree like a monkey, he'll always think he's stupid.
Here's
what I mean by that, okay? Some people are built for one type of thing. Some people are built for another type of thing. Some people want to do amazing things in a particular area, and some people don't. I'll give you an example of somebody. There's a Facebook friend of mine. I don't know if she's been on your show yet, but you ought to have her. There's a girl named Valerie Pulowski.
I've never had her on.
Well, we ought to talk. We'll talk about that then.
Okay.
Valerie is a kettlebell. That's her big thing. Also does some maces and clubs and that kind of stuff, but kettlebells are a big thing. Now, Valerie is doing stuff with kettlebells, okay, doing kettlebell snatches with a 50-something-pound kettlebell when she's maybe 110 pounds.
Wow.
We're talking about, like, high rep, like hundreds of rep one-arm snatches with like a half body weight in one hand.
Wow.
Okay, now, comparatively, I can outsnatch her by a long shot, but for the absolute amount of max weight. But she blows me out of the water from a pound-for-pound perspective.
Yep.
Okay? There's what I mean. If she compares herself in I have to squat as much as Bud, even though I'm a totally different human being, or if I compare myself to – you see what I mean? Compare yourself against somebody else's playground, she's extremely good at that particular thing. Okay, Janelle Pica, same thing. Lady who, phenomenal girl. Now listen to this. This is a cute little 130-ish, or I don't really know how big Janelle is, but she's not very big.
No, she's not.
Okay, yeah. Who military pressed a pair of 32-kilo bells, like body weight.
Yep.
That's like most guys can't do it.
Exactly.
That's not a joke. You know what I'm saying? You can, but it's finding the thing that you can be great at.
Yep.
Okay. I trained a high school kid one time who in just a little bit of time could deadlift 500 pounds.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was built like a giant basketball player. He had thigh bone, like his thigh bone alone longer than my whole, like the length of my whole leg. It's not kind of, here's what I mean by that. Okay. So the guy was a good athlete. He was a good basketball player. He's a phenomenal deadlifter. Like a 34-inch sleeve or something ridiculous, so pressing, he couldn't move the same weight as I, you know what I'm saying? Squats were very awkward for him because he's super long thigh bone and a super short torso.
Yep.
Why not do the thing that you can do? Find something that makes you happy with yourself. Find something that allows you to grow within what you're possible, with what's possible for you, that's in your range of talent, and then take it as far as you can.
Absolutely.
Take it and make yourself amazing with it. Make yourself something. And don't just do that in the lifting area of life, okay? We let ourselves off the hook on everything. We let ourselves off, okay, well, I'm not good at school, so I don't care about that.
Exactly.
Actually, it doesn't matter what you do in a particular format. You have to find some way to develop your mind. And I don't understand spiritual stuff, so I'm just going to skip it. No, you need to have some reality of what you know and what you think about things. Well, I've never been physical in my whole life, so I don't care about it. Okay. Nobody's making you. you can survive in our society with just a pair of thumbs.
Exactly.
But you're missing what you could be. You're missing what's possible. Doesn't mean you have to look perfect. You know what? Who cares?
Yeah.
It means you can do amazing things if you just get out and do them, and do them one flip at a time. One tire flip at a time. One lift at a time. One little thing at a time. Stop worrying about 6 years from now. Worry about this minute.
Yeah, worry live for today, man.
And then go out and do amazing things. And over a period of time, if you just trust that it works, you can do some amazing stuff, man. You really, really can do some you can do phenomenal things. Even if you come out of the box blessed with some amazing genetics or if you've been blessed to get some really great training early, if you keep going with it, man, you can do some amazing stuff that you never even thought possible.
I agree.
Why not do it? Why not have every area of life as powerful as you can? And if looking a certain way is very important to you and you're willing to do what it takes to do that, because here's the thing.
Yeah, do it.
Now, I respect bodybuilders for a particular reason. Let me tell you why. I respect them because from a dietary and a stay on top of training way of looking at things, they're phenomenally disciplined human beings, at least in the short term.
Yeah.
Okay. The rest of us probably don't want to live that way or do that way, and that's fine. And you know what? And you can be happy with that. I'll be happy with my thing, and that's all totally cool. If changing how you look makes a big difference to you, then do it, okay? But don't obsess to the point where it destroys your life. And don't same thing with strength or anything else either. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I'll give you a very specific example of this. Anthony Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Now, Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony was a good guy, man. But Anthony was – if you ever know his story, okay, Anthony came from a very abusive background and turned that around and became, you know, first teenager to bench press 600 pounds, first guy to press 800 pounds. Dude was – I met him and I spent a weekend with him at the University of Florida one time. He was up to that point in my life, biggest human I'd ever seen up close.
Yep.
And I say that as the guy was like 5'6 and like 350.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy had like 25-inch arms legit. You know what I'm saying? It's not a joke. I mean, the guy was the biggest muscular human I'd ever seen up close. And the guy ate like – it was ridiculous. I watched the guy just destroy a buffet, and he already had like 4,000 or 5,000 calories worth of protein shakes in the earlier part of the day. I mean, it was insane. He turned all that around, became a motivational speaker, helped a ton of people, but never really conquered those demons.
Yep.
And here's what I mean. Later in his life, you know, you can't sustain being 5'6 and 350 forever.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
And Anthony had a car accident, and he had some real trouble out of that, and some physical issues, and he had an enlarged heart, and he would lose some weight and get away from it, and move away from the thing to a healthy spot, but then he couldn't let go of that particular identity, and he would go right back to things, and go right back to getting big again. And eventually, that actually killed him.
Yep.
Because his heart couldn't take it.
Yep.
You know, we do that. My bodybuilder friends I've watched do it. My weightlifting friends I've watched do it. You know what? Be amazingly sold out into making yourself the best possible. But you have to do it from the right mental place, not a crazy mental place, not from a destructive place. You got to get past whatever it is, the abuse or whatever problem you've had or whatever the deal is, and get into the idea that I can do this for me. I don't have to be anybody else's anything. I don't even have to live up to the image I've created. I just have to live. And along the way, I can do amazing things, but I won't let it kill me. And I won't let it destroy my life, and I won't let it destroy other people's lives. I will master this thing. I'll master myself along the way. All of those things can be yours if you just do the right stuff. Do the mental homework. Do the spiritual homework. Go out and do the physical training. But don't wrap up into the I am me only because I do this thing. No, you are you. You're an amazing human being. You're built to be an amazing human being at whatever. And if you're successful at something or not, still a great human being. If you look pretty or not, still a great human being if you just try.
Yeah. And once you get that down, the world's yours. But you know what? It's like anything. It's hard work. Going to be stumbling and misfiring a lot, but the thing is, as Les Brown says, everyone has greatness in them. Everyone does. And it's like too many people sell themselves too short. like I said, the pressures, whatever's happening beforehand, I get it. I see it all over Facebook all the time. But when I read that stuff, and I can't read much of it anymore because it makes me go psycho, we've all had problems. We've had family issues. We've had stuff in our own lives. Bud's here talking. I'm here talking. There's no reason why you can't do it, too. There's so many good things in the world to look at, to look for, to travel to. You know, if you listen to everything that's going on now, the sky's falling. Stop falling for that crap, and that's what it is. Stop buying into other people's opinions. Stop letting other people drive the bus in your life. Take it over. Take everything back, and I guarantee you, you're going to suffer a little pain. Believe me, there's going to be a big curve in your life, but you have the ability to do it. You know what I mean? As my dad always says, be a leader, not a follower. There's so much truth to those words. It's there for you, and I want to see everybody do well. I mean, look, everybody's different in their own way. You're not squatting 1,000 pounds like Bud, but you can squat 400. So what? All right? We're talking about flipping tires. Well, maybe you take that 500-pound tire and you flip it for an hour straight. There's all things you can do. Just because you're not Bud or you're not me doesn't mean you can't function in the world. Doesn't mean you can go out. Maybe you write the greatest masterpiece book ever on whatever it is you like to do. You know, maybe you become the scholar you always wanted to be. Maybe you go out and you lift cars for a living. It doesn't matter. The thing is, take whatever it is you love, whatever you have you feel passion for, establish that in yourself internally right away. This is what I'm going to do, and don't look back. I can just tell you that from the business here. Never look back. You can't. Once you establish this, I can tell you this. When I left my job, I was making $82,000 a year. I don't make anywhere near that now because of the how we're trying to build the business, and it takes time to build your business and make money. Not a lot of people do. A lot of businesses fail. We won't have failure. I don't know that word. What I'm trying to say to you is go after something you love to do, and when you find it, whatever you did prior to that, you'll never be able to go back to it, because I'm going to tell you something. I can't put a word on it with me. Something happens to you, and it's in a good way, where it's almost like maybe it was something that was always in all of our DNA that – when this thing lets go, it's almost like a bear trap letting go, and it's like it keeps driving you, and you want it more and more, and you want to succeed more and more, and you can't stop. You know, I want to take days off sometimes. I can't do it. Why? Because they're not days off to me. I love what I do, so it's always fun to do it. I have my days like everybody where I'm like, ah, crap, I've had enough of today, but the majority of my days are like that. You can do that with your training. You can do that with your professional life, and you can surely do it with all your relationships. But I'm going to say this, and then, Bud, I'm going to have you summarize everything and give out your information. I'll give mine. I'll tell you this. This is my personal opinion. I was very lucky the home life I had. You know, I know people on the show, too, that we talk about that had very bad home life, man, abusive, the whole thing. But they're here today, man. They're doing magnificent things. They didn't let that stop them, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. Besides having a great home and, you know, with my brother Jimmy with muscular dystrophy, it was a different home life here, and there was a lot of continuity and closeness because we had to rally around my brother. You know, we wanted him to stay alive, and we loved him so much. But the second thing, and I don't know how much below that is that gym. If I never started weightlifting and learned what it meant and the physical aspects and the mental aspects, I'm still growing. I don't know anything to anything. I'm going to leave this world. I'll never know everything about weightlifting and the mental thing and all that. And that's okay. I don't care. But what I'm learning every day is making me better. And I just try to pass that along through the show, through people I meet, you know, face-to-face, et cetera, et cetera. So, Bud, I'm going to leave it at that. Summarize anything you like. Give out your info. I'll give mine. And if you'd stay on the line for a moment, please, I'd appreciate it.
All right. We talked about being counterfeit versus being real here. Don't be counterfeit in your life. Don't let yourself off the hook on being amazing on absolutely everything. Don't let your mind drive you nuts. That sounds funny, but let's be real about it. We all got demons to work out. Get them done. Yep. You can conquer that and then begin to conquer something in every area of your life. You ought to have a goal in every moment of every area, in your finances, in your spiritual life, in your mental life, in what you learned, in your physical life, and in your physical things, which has been one of my specialties, something that gets you stronger, something that gets you more enduring, and something that lets you move better. Those are super basic areas, and you ought to have something in every bit of those areas that does it all the time. And seriously, you can do it. Don't let yourself be sucked in by the fact that from a physical performance standpoint, most people are way below what they can be. You have so much potential you can fulfill if you just get out and do the right things. Pick something that you do all the time. You do it every time. Pick something that you experiment with on a regular basis and then enjoy things. Pick some wild stuff to try. See what you're good at. See what you're amazing at. See what you could be amazing at. See what you suck at and fix it. And do amazing things. Don't let the majority of the way people think today on how you look affect you at all. However you look today is perfect. However you look in 6 months, if you want to change that, is perfect too. You, your value is inside, not outside. So now express it. Do that and learn to help yourself and then change the world. All right, if you guys want to catch me, you can catch me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under Bud Jeffries. You can catch me at www.unconventionallife.com. You can catch a new product we got coming out with Peter Ragnar called Limitless Living, Keys to Limitless Living, which is really going to be all about a lot of this stuff. We're going to talk to you about, you know, about everything, man, about finances, about getting your relationships right, about getting your mind right, about getting your body right, all the things that are holding most people back. And we got lots of brand new stuff coming out, and make sure you check out our daily feed when you got all kind of new stuff about improving your mind and body and spirit all at the same time.
Awesome. You got anything else, bud?
Good, man.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle. This is streaming radio. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Go out and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Also to Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner Circle. Go out to MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out there and just check out all the information that's right at your fingertips. Listen to it. I guarantee you it will be life-changing. Also to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com, or on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's done. I thank them for that. Don't forget, we're out on Google Play Music. Tune in, Shoutcast and Aha Radio. And I am on 7 of 8 more new directories I've submitted to. I'm waiting to hear from the 8th one. So we're going to be out even more. We set a record last month for downloads. I thank everybody for that. We're getting bigger and bigger. If there's a show you'd like Bud and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@nicap.rrr.com. You can contact me with anything you want. And don't be afraid to go out to M&M's site and put in comments about the show. We want to hear what you think, what's on your mind. Also, too, let me think. Is there anything else there? No. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello or give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. We've been talking about all that in the show here today. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift, bend it, break it, pull it, squat it, push it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. The great Hoos of Steel Stone says in blood red, domination, we are domination. We don't follow anyone's path. We clear cut our own. And remember to dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show from the very beginning and who's a guest on here, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. I love that word, man, and I'll say that for the next 30 years, and I thank you for that, Russell. And I want to, well, I'm going to thank, but Bud, thanks for being on the show. I've got some other things to add, but super show, always good to have you on, and I appreciate all the support you've given me and the show.
Thanks, brother.
You're welcome, anytime. A few things, and then we're going to sign off. Frank Klein, who is one of my greatest college teachers, always laid these words on us constantly. Repetition, repetition, repetition. We talked about some things today. Say it repeatedly. Repetition, repetition, repetition. As my father said to us always, especially on me, be a leader, not a follower. And as my good friend and a mentor, John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years, who really became kind of like a father figure after I lost my dad in a lot of ways, instrumental in pushing me to go into this business. Just a great guy, old Palmer School chiropractor from originally from New Hampshire. Still had the accent. And among many things he used to bestow on me, he would say this to everybody when they were leaving. He'd walk you right out to the door every time. Keep smiling. It puts a smile on my face every time I say that, and it will change your whole day when you say something like that. Suddenly good things start flowing in. I miss John. And I miss our Fridays going over there and getting my work done and just talking to him. He was one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. And rest in peace, my friend. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Be a steward of strength, and we're coming for you. So tell 100 of your friends, the tank isn't going to just roll up. It's going to roll right through the front of your house. Come aboard. Join my family here. Be part of, like, with Bud Jeffries, Mike Bruce, Mike Gillette. The list goes on and on. We want you. Come on in with us, and we will see what happens in the next 30 years, because I guarantee you we are going to take the world. So for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. Bud will be on with us in October. Till then, just do some great things because you got it in you. Here's to your greatness. I salute you. And I'll tell you what, this is a big day for the American worker, and we salute all the American workers or all the workers in the world. It doesn't matter. You always lend a big hand to us all, and I thank you for that. Have a good week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.